Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. You can't expect to have strong faith if you never feed your faith. The way your body would get stronger is by feeding it good nutrition and using it, exercising it. Your spirit's the same way. But you can't just feed your spirit on anything. Not just anything will feed your spirit. The intellectual stuff, reasoning stuff, is not the same. God made us. We're created. He is spirit, and He made us spirit beings. He made us speaking spirits. And so the substance we need for strength and light and life comes directly from Him. And the way He ministers it to us is through His words. He feeds us through His words. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The prophet said, I've esteemed the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. And so if you respect His words, if you hunger and thirst for His words and His things, you'll be filled. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, all of us do. We reach out to You and we say, we are Yours. You give us life. You redeemed us. You bought us. We belong to You. And we look to You for our sustenance, for our existence, to feed us. Feed us Your words and enlighten us and quicken us for Your will and pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord.
Thank you.
We've been on our series for a number of weeks now, and if you haven't been with us, you're just joining us for the first time today, go to faithschool.org on the internet, and all of these previous lessons are there, no charge, no cost, no commitment, and it'll help you if you'll feed on the previous ones leading up to this, because one is building on the other, the previous. And so we begin with reason number one, that we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all, because the Lord is my shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not
want.
That word's also translated lack. We spent time on that and fed our spirit on that. And then we've gone one after another. We're down to reason 19 in our study now. And you want to get those previous 18. They're worth your time. And number 19 is the tabernacle. We're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the tabernacle. You see God's choice. You see His preference. You see His will and His ways. And one thing you need to know about God, He never changes.
Yeah.
Hmm? Change would imply He wasn't perfect to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
He needs to make an adjustment somehow or an improvement. No. He knows the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So He doesn't need to make all these adjustments. And if anybody ever comes out with a Bible 2.0, save you money. Don't get it?
Yeah.
Huh? No. God's words, the Bible said, are pure. They are like gold refined many, many times. They are perfect. And they need no adjustment, like Himself. And so when He reveals something, it doesn't matter if it was thousands of years ago, He's still that way. Our covenant has changed. Not Him. He hasn't changed. And He never will. And that's a good thing. Because
yes,
He's a good God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is so wonderful that He is a good God. Because if He wasn't, Wouldn't be anything we could do about it.
Exactly.
Right? No, somebody say, thank God.
Thank God.
That you're a good God. Thank God. Go with me back again to Exodus and the 36th chapter. In our previous lesson on this, we were looking at when Moses was on the mountain and it was burning with fire, and he was there in the glory of God for 40 days and 40 nights. One of the first things that God gave him was what we call the Ten Commandments. He spoke that audibly out of the fire. Everybody heard it. Everybody heard it. And then it scared them so bad until all the people backed way off from the mountain and they told Moses, you go. You go talk to him, because if we hear that voice again, we think we will all die. The way it started was that morning is the darkness enveloped it and the fire, and a trumpet sounded. And it just kept sounding. And it got louder and louder and louder and louder. And everybody was just scared out of their wits. And Moses spoke and the trumpet stopped. And God spoke to him. And in that glory, right after the Ten Commandments and a few ordinances that he told him, the Lord says, tell the people to bring an offering, that we're going to build a sanctuary, and they will build a sanctuary for me. Well, that used to be important to him. One of the first things that he talked about with them. Has he changed?
No.
We already talked about that. You know, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. He does not change. Everybody said out loud, he does not change.
He does not change.
He will never change.
He will never change.
And so, you know, what we're saying is what he used to want, he still wants. What he used to like, he still likes. Elsewise, he's changed. And so he told them what he wanted. He said, bring to me only if you're willing. Everybody that's willing. Bring to me gold, silver, precious stones, fine fabrics, fine leathers. And it was literally the best of the best. Well, why wouldn't it be? God made it, right? And if he says, that's what I want, but this counters this idea that God is he likes minimalism, that he likes us to live a Spartan minimalist life, and that he's really opposed to anything that's sparkly or shiny or especially expensive. There are people who've written numerous books and preach all kind of messages against expensive, against what they consider rich and gaudy and ostentatious and showy. But the tabernacle that the Lord specified ain't drab. It is not dull. He told them to get the best woods and to construct it to specific dimensions and then overlay everything with gold. Everybody say gold.
Gold.
Now gold is not cheap.
Right?
And gold is shiny.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And that's what God liked. That he could have said anything he wanted to say. Couldn't he?
Yes.
He could have said, you know, save your money, get me some cheap wood, and I don't even want a gloss finish.
Oh,
huh? Because I don't like shiny and flashy. Why am I saying that? Because to hear some people talk, that's him. But they don't know him.
Right.
I said they don't know him.
Right.
And I guess if they're saved and they really believe that, when they die and go to heaven, they're going to get a shock. Yes. Is that right? They are going to stand there with their mouth open, and the entire gate is made of a pearl. Huh? And they look down at their feet, and it's translucent gold. Gold everywhere. Jewels, foundational layers of jewels. Precious gems. That's God. Whether you think so or not, that's Him.
Yes.
He likes it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
If He likes it,
I
likes it.
I like it.
Come on, anybody with me?
Yes.
It, say it out loud. If God likes it,
I like it.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I? He made it. If He didn't like gold, He wouldn't have made gold.
Yes, that's
right?
Yeah.
He'd have just made iron. Steel, right? That's good, strong building materials. No, if He didn't like silver, He wouldn't have made. If He didn't like diamonds, He wouldn't have made them. But He not only made them, that's His preference and that's His choice for building materials. We need some mind renewal, don't we? We got a ways to come up. So in the 38th chapter of Exodus, we start about verse 21. It says, "This is the psalm of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony." Now this is chapter 38. And He started talking to him about this back in chapter 25. Now not every chapter was all about the tabernacle, but a lot of it was. And so obviously this is something that God cared a lot about. And He never changes. This is the psalm of the tabernacle. This previous, you know, what, 10 plus chapters. Even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted, according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ithamar, son to Aaron the priest. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver, a cunning workman, an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and fine linen. Something that's important to note, we mentioned this in previous classes, but the Scripture said the Lord called these two men by name, and He said that He had put on them the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and skill to do these things. And this is not preaching or prophesying or praying. This is working with your hands. Does God still do that today? Yes, He does. Not everybody's called to be a preacher, but everybody's got a call. Huh? And there is grace that accompanies the call. And there's anointing and there's knowledge and wisdom and skill that goes with it. And we got to watch about trying to be something God didn't make you to be. Yes. Trying to function and operate in a job or a place that's not your grace. Mm-hmm. It'll only frustrate you. And other people that are supposed to do it, it'll seem like it comes easy for them and they do such a good job and you're working yourself silly and can't keep up. Is it that you're slow or dumb or what? Or just in the wrong place? Can you see this?
Yes.
So many times that's the case, that people did not pray. They just chose something and decided. And you know, you'll hear parents sometimes well-meaning, but they tell their little sons and daughters, you know, honey, you're smart, you're beautiful, you're handsome, you can be anything you want to be, you can do anything you want to do. That's not true. I know they mean well, but if you're going to be a Christian, Jesus is your Lord.
Yes.
You're not your own Lord. You are not to decide and be just anything you decide to be. That's actually already been decided for you before you were born. And what you got to do is not decide what you want to be. It's discern, find out, ask and seek God and find out what you're called to be. And there are people, I've seen it, and I've remarked to Phyllis and others at times that I've come across people. We were seeing a doctor, a surgeon who was working on somebody a while back, and this person is so skilled and so sharp. And I just mentioned to Phyllis, she's heard me say it before, I said, they're called to do that just like I'm called to preach. Hmm? What do I mean? The anointing will come on them. Come on their mind and their eyes and their hands and their fingers, and they can do things other people couldn't do. Well, God wants living light witnesses in every part of society. Is that right? Every profession, every good profession, every good work, every good place, and God wants people to shine in that place so that it gets to the point where people realize, man, that's beyond what they could do naturally, right? And so that's what happened with these men, with Bezalel and Aholiab. They weren't praying. They weren't prophesying. They weren't preaching. They weren't prophets. They weren't kings. They weren't psalmists. They were artisans. They were craftsmen. And you know, a lot of things have been lost in recent times. We've gone to a lot of computer stuff and a lot of automation and machines, but to this day, there are things machines can't do. And certainly they can't come up with divine inspiration. They only do what some human put in them to do. And God would give us new things that nobody's thought of. Hallelujah. And then guide you and anoint you to do it. I was mentioning doctors, and if any of our people or our friends ever go to do to have a surgery or a procedure of any kind, we always pray a prayer over them. And I pray something like this. I say, Lord, I ask you, direct who does the work. And give them rest the night before and quicken them. And then guide their mind and their eyes and their hands and their instruments. Keep them back from making any mistakes. Help them to do perfect work of the best they have ever done. And I've actually talked to some people after they did a surgery. I remember this was years ago. This older surgeon was coming out of the back, and I could just see his face was lit up. I could tell he has done the best work he has ever done in his life. And I know what happened. We asked God to help him. Hallelujah. And he did. And he was telling me, he'd stop once in a while and smile and go, it went really good. It went really good. And then what we'll do, we'll ask the Lord to speed up the healing, increase the healing power working in their body and cause them to heal up quickly, correctly, and completely. Amen. And we have seen marvelous things. Yes. Can God do it without a surgery? Yes, He can. And He has and will do it, but He also does it with. It depends on where we are at the time. And He works with us and He works with our faith. But a victory is a victory.
Yes.
And getting past something, getting over something is a victory, right?
Amen.
And being able to go on and do what you need to do. But I'm just elaborating that God not only anoints people to do things spiritually, anoint you to preach, anoint you to pray, anoint you to prophesy, lay hands on the sick, these kind of things. But that same Holy Spirit anoints people to do what we'd call natural things in skill and craftsmanship. So ask the Lord. In fact, let me lead you in a prayer right now. Say it out loud. Father God, cause me to know where my place is. Your choice for me and my graces and the anointings that you have put in me and on me, and help me to develop in them that you might add to and increase and get glory to yourself that others may see
in my field of work,
my profession,
my areas,
that they may see
your excellence,
your glory
in me,
on me,
with me,
in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
So if you ever see somebody that's, you can tell God's trying to do something with them, just look at them and say, have you ever heard of Bezalel? You ever heard of Aholiah? A lot of people, I've done that. And people said, huh? Who? I said, you need to find out, right? You need to find out about him. He anointed their hands. He anointed to work with metal. And to work with fabrics and to work with jewelry and stones and those kind of things. The Bible said, verse 24, all the gold that was occupied for the work in all the work of the holy place. The reason I'm having you read it here, and this is near the end of the book. It's just 40 chapters. Is now all the way from 25, he's given you the totals of what they used, what came in. Even the gold of the offering was 29 talents and 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Now you got to understand what a talent is. Depending on the time and the area, there are talents that have been as light as like 60 pounds and talents that have been 120 pounds, 130 pounds. They tell us that during this time and frame, it was probably about 75 pounds. 75-pound chunk of gold. This is after it's been refined. This is pure gold. How many of them? 29. Anybody checked how much gold's going an ounce these days? Not 75 ounces. 75 pounds. And then it goes on to say, the silver of them that was numbered was 100 talents. Silver's not as pricey as gold, but there's more of it here too. There's 100 talents of silver. And 1,703 score and 15 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Verse 27, of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of 100 talents. A talent for a socket. That was the base that they put the stanchion in, the gold-covered wood pole. Of course, you need something stable. So 75 pounds of silver. We'll do it. And there was 50 of these that went around the place. Solid silver. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now who wanted this?
God.
Who chose this?
God.
Could they have gotten by cheaper?
Sure.
If they wanted to miss God.
Yeah.
Right? If they want to displease him. Was this taking money away from anybody that needed it?
No.
No. Can God do this and meet other people's needs too? How are you kidding me? So this stuff about, you know, this could have been given to the poor, like we said, that's a quote from Judas Iscariot. You don't want to be saying that. And it just means that you're coveting somebody else's stuff. Don't do that. Can God do both?
Yes.
Not only can God do both, he can do 10 things at the same time.
Yes.
He can do 1,000.
Yes.
Are y'all with me? He can do 10,000.
Yes.
He can do it all. So this, spending all this on the tabernacle was not taking anything away from any hungry people.
Yes.
Not then and not now.
Amen.
Whether you think so or not. And so they made all the stuff out of these metals. And this is just the metals. But let me give you some modern day numbers for that. Like we said, a talent's about 75 pounds. So 29 talents would be 2,175 pounds. That's a ton.
Yeah.
That's over a ton. That's 100, in today's value of gold per ounce, $146 million.
Wow.
Just that. $146 million. And then there was an additional 730 shekels of pure gold. That's almost another 300 ounces. That's $1.2 million. So we're up to what, 147, 148? And then the silver. 100 talents. That's 7,500 pounds of pure silver. That's another $7 million at today's price of silver. And then the 1,703 shekels, that's about another $50,000. And that's just these two precious metals. We're just with those two, we're at 154,500,000. Then there is all of the brass, and there's all of the leathers, and all of the fabrics. And then you got the precious metals. You got the diamonds and the rubies and the you see what I'm saying? I mean, just before we start with any of the rest, we got a $150 million tent.
Thank you.
That's a nice tent.
Yes,
I said, that's a nice tent. When God said he wants a tent, he wants a nice tent. Is this a waste?
No.
When people say, that's just too much. That's just too much. Too much for who? Too much for you, obviously, but not too much for God. And you got to remember how they got there. They brought the offerings until they had to tell them, quit. Quit bringing so much. They restrained them from bringing because what they had brought was enough. And the scripture said, too much. That's just too much. You're right. It was too much offering. It was a too much tent. Hallelujah. And that's exactly who God is. He's a too much God, and he wants to do too much for you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, I believe it.
I
accept it.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And our time's up. We'll see you soon here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.